To talk about was the topic that I mentioned was business on Shabbos, and there's a lot of different parts to it, and it's very complicated. And the first thing is that I can't say we shouldn't necessarily rely on all this halacha l'maisa. We should study it, learn it, know that teshayla zos. Some of it will be, but some of it you may have to ask. It's very much a case by case scenario, depending on the location, depending on where it is, depending on who knows about it, etc. So that you have to keep in mind. The second thing you have to keep in mind is that there's a lot of halachas. There's a lot of halachas in these, specifically in this inyan, that Chazal said are also because of marasayim. It looks bad. It looks worse than it is. If you have someone working on your lawn or whatever it is, and they came and you didn't ask them to come, etc. We're going to learn the details. But the guy comes and it's publicly something's being done on your behalf. So it looks bad. It looks like you're doing work on Shabbos. So there's a lot of halachas that Chazal said in this inyan specifically that are also off marasayim. That it looks terrible. And especially Rav Moshe writes in a tshuva here. He says in a place like this country, he says that people are mezalzel on Shabbos. People aren't careful enough in Shabbos as it is. So he says, even the areas in halacha which are even mutter, and Chazal didn't say it's marasayim, still in that we shouldn't necessarily rely on kulas because people are mezalzel on Shabbos. So the people that know about Shabbos have to be extra careful, because the people that don't know about Shabbos make it such a zilzal that those people that do know something about Shabbos have to take an extra precaution to be extra careful. So just that's an important fact, and that there's always an opportunity to mekadeshim shemayim if a person will be extra careful in those halachas. So there's a lot of different areas that come up, shilas that come up, and cases that come up. So I want to break it down into what the shilas are. What are the issues that you have to know about before you even can discuss specific shilas? And in the last couple of shiurim couple of topics we talked about, we really discussed much more like case by case halachas. Psak halachas in different cases, but the thing is, in this specific case, it's going to be hard to do that because there's so many possibilities. It's impossible to really discuss every case by case basis. But what we're going to try to do is a little bit give the sodeis so that we can, and give some examples so that we can really understand it. Okay, so the setup is the following, right? We're going to have to keep in mind the following about six factors. And then once you have these six factors, then basically you could start juggling around and figuring it out, okay? One is that there's an Isser, what's called Schar Shabbos. Anyone, you ever heard of that Isser? Yeah? Schar Shabbos means you can't make money on Shabbos. You can't gain money on Shabbos. And even if you're not doing any malacha, you're not doing anything wrong, but you happen to be making money on Shabbos off an investment, off something else. Money that comes in, revenue that comes in on Shabbos is awesome. You're not allowed to make money on Shabbos. So for example, Rav Moshe writes, so Rav Moshe writes in a tshuva that even if you have, for example, interest which accrues on an account, on a CD or whatever it is, on a bank account, savings account, if you have interest which accrues on Shabbos, that's awesome. So you have to, and says that interest which accrues on Shabbos, you have to give back, and you have to give to tzedakah, and you have to give it as a cash in a pushka that no one can see, because otherwise you're benefiting from it because you give a big check. So that's what Moshe says. I don't know. What do you mean? You listen to our Moshe?
No, but I'm saying, are we chayav?
You don't have to fight. It's not that complicated. At the end of the month, it's 30 days. You look how much interest you made, and you look back every Shabbos 4 days, and you give away the tzedakah. Yeah? Now, this is what our Moshe says, but there's one very important point about this, okay? That is that the Isser of Schar Shabbos, so obviously this would have to do with a person does Amazon sales and stuff like that, all this stuff, he's not doing anything, he's sitting at home and people are buying his merchandise on Shabbos. Okay? So all that would be included in the Isser of Schar Shabbos. Okay? You're not allowed to make money on Shabbos. Now, the thing is that there's one very important knesh, as they say. One very important nekuda that could be that throws a monkey wrench in all this, which is a big heter. It's a big mukum to be matir, to be lenient, which is the following, which is that Schar Shabbos is mutter when it's bahavlah. Havlah. Havlah means when it's swallowed up with something else. Meaning, if you're getting one lump sum of money, and that's coming from both weekday and Shabbos, so then Chazal were matir it, because it's not explicitly only for Shabbos. It's coming for a whole week. Okay, it's coming for multiple days at a time, or it's coming for Shabbos and Sunday. So any money that comes in and you're gaining the money not from specifically Shabbos, but from Shabbos and Sunday, then it's okay. So for example, let's say you rent a car out. You have a car rental business, and you rent out the car for 7 days. On a 7-day rental, it's $100 a day. You make $700. Okay? Or for, let's say, for a weekly rental, you would make $700, something like that. Not one day at a time, but a weekly rental, you make $700. So even if you would only make X amount less if you wouldn't be renting it out for Shabbos, but since you're gaining it all at once, it's being paid for you as part of the week, you don't have to say, well, this is coming for Shabbos, and subtract that. So therefore, going back to the case, so for example, this is very nogeya, a balkoire. Let's say you pay a balkoire. Yeah, let's say you pay a balkoire, or you pay a baltakeya, or you pay someone that davens for the Omer Rosh Hashanah. And you pay him. He's making money for something that he's doing on Shabbos. Right? So the answer is, well, you pay him for preparing. Well, you're paying him for both, really. For preparing and doing it. You know, if he doesn't do it, you're not paying him for preparing. Right? Yeah. But once he comes, the truth is you're paying for both, because it takes a lot more time to prepare. If a guy could just get up there, you wouldn't pay Bakari as much, right? So you're paying him for preparation and for doing it. So even though you're paying him for both, since you're paying him as for what he does before Shabbos and what he does on Shabbos together, then it's okay. Okay? So therefore, Ramosha says, regarding the interest, for example, Ramosha says that interest on a bank, it accrues over 24-hour period. So it accrues from 12:01 a.m. Saturday morning till 11:59, 12 a.m. Saturday night. That's when the interest accrues. So it means the whole interest you got for that day was partially for Shabbos, partially for Motzei Shabbos. So therefore, when you look back at your accounts and you say, well, that interest accrued today was $5, it's really $1.75 for Motzei Shabbos and $3.25 for Shabbos. But since the $5 came together, if you would pull out the money in the middle of the day, you wouldn't get it. So it's one lump sum that came for Shabbos and Motzei Shabbos, then the whole sum is all right. The whole amount is more.
What happens on Yom Tov?
So on Yom Tov, a two-day Yom Tov is also okay, because a two-day Yom Tov is a suffix. So really only one of the days is Yom Tov, the other day is not. But you're always laughing at me. But now listen to this. So Rav David Feinstein writes in the Tshuva that he says, but let's say you have a case where you have, well, like we had this year Shavuos, you have Motzei Shabbos and the first day of Shavuos. So it's not a suffix. The first day of Shavuos is Motzei Shabbos, and Sunday is Shabbos is Shabbos. So that means the interest accrues from Shabbos to Motzei Shabbos. Motzei Shabbos was Shavuos, right? So while we're learning, while we're staying up all night learning, all that money is, all the big money is coming in from the savings account. That's a 0.01% everyone's gaining from your savings account, right? So Rav David Feinstein writes, on a two-day Yom Tov, or on a Yom Tov that follows a Shabbos, you talk have to give back the money. Because it's Chag Shabbos. So this month,
give it back or give it to
Tzedakah? You can't benefit from it, in other words. You can't benefit from it. You can give it to Tzedakah, but again, you can't even get any Tovas Hanah. You can't, I'm going to give you a big check, and now you're going to put me up on the sign. You have to just give it anonymously. That's where David writes. And a tshuva.
So you run into a problem backwards then too.
No, what?
If you're paying bills and you're paying interest to something else, you're being charged a daily interest.
Yeah, but
so I'm spending money on Shabbos too.
No, you're allowed to spend money on Shabbos. You're just not allowed to make. I mean, you're allowed to be charged for something that happened on Shabbos. You're just not allowed to make money on Shabbos.
That's why I explained that to the caterer.
So what happens with your example with the car?
What about like a you rent a home?
Yeah, but it's a monthly.
It's a monthly.
It's a monthly rental. Or a car is a monthly rental. So, or what?
No, your Visa card is.
But still, the daily, the daily rentals also. You're not charging the guy that rents your house from Friday night to. You're charged. No, you're.
The car at 6 o'clock.
It's not a 24-hour rental. It's a daily rental.
Generally, 24-hour.
Okay, but still, you can't return the car 2 seconds after Shabbos. There's still going to be 5 minutes after Shabbos that you're required for.
Yeah, includes the Shabbos.
And even a house rental, there's always going to be part of it which is for Motzei Shabbos. Okay, so I'm not really getting even involved necessarily in this topic yet. This is just one of the topics,
right.
One of the areas that has to be discussed when you're dealing with these shilas. Like he said, do you have to? I don't know. This is what Moshe Feinstein writes, and Rav David Feinstein paskins like this, halacha l'maisa, and it makes a lot of sense. So, I mean, I guess so.
What about all the expenses you have for that same period?
What does that have to do with this?
You're renting something out by the day, but you're paying the mortgage and you're...
Well, it's not Tzchah Shabbos.
We can spend money on Shabbos.
It's not Tzchah Shabbos. If you made money from that particular asset that's explicitly, you know, you can account for it for Shabbos, then yeah. The net income, right. Okay, so that would be one area that you have to think about. Again, like I said, a lot of these times you don't have the heter vavla. If someone sells, if someone has, you know, where it came up a lot of times, so you, in the olden days, before Amazon, so it was common to have this shayla on a vending machine. A guy would have a vending machine, he would sell cigarettes in Port Authority, whatever it is, so he would have his vending machine that they would sell stuff in on the streets, and then they would collect. So they would be making money on sales that will come in on Shabbos. The same thing is nowadays on Amazon. A guy has his sales, he doesn't even know what's going on, and there it's even, you can't even do anything about it. I mean, you're not the one selling it, so it's very hard to even do anything about it. So that you have to work out this particular shayla. So let's say in the vending machine, maybe what you could do is you could go empty it out Sunday morning, so therefore you're probably in there with some money from Motzei Shabbos. It could be you could get out of it. But if there's a way to track, like on Amazon, there's a way to track when the sale was, it's very hard to hear that that's Bav Law. Okay, so this is a shayla we're going to get to. I'm just really explaining what the shayla, what the areas that we have to cover are, because there's a lot of them. Okay, and I'm going to use the terms over again, so I just wanted to clarify the terms. The first thing is Tzchar Shabbos.
Where is the Shabbos? Where is the Shabbos? Where the person bought it or where you received it?
What do you mean?
Somebody,
whatever, it depends when the sale is final. No, it depends on you. It depends on you.
So somebody bought it, it's Friday in Australia.
It doesn't matter what that. It matters when you're making the money. So the first thing is Tzchar Shabbos. The second thing, then the next couple things is not exactly Tzchar Shabbos. It's a little bit of a different point. The other problems that you could come up with are problems of having a non-Jew work for you, and that's the issur of Amir La'akum. Okay, that means even if you're not necessarily making any money off this, you're not making any money today. The guy's just doing some setup. You're not actually getting any revenue today. But if the guy is doing work for you on Shabbos, that's also a problem. Nothing to do with Tzchar Shabbos. Nothing to do with the fact that you're making money. But having a non-Jew do malacha for you on Shabbos is also, and that's the issur of Amir La'akum. And Amir La'akum is also even if you didn't tell him to do it.
What's Amir La'akum?
Amira is to say something to a non-Jew, to an Akum. It means telling a non-Jew to do malacha for you, to do work for you on Shabbos is usur, regardless of whether you actually made money. So regardless of whether you actually brought in any revenue or brought in any income, it's not the point. There's a separate issur of Amir La'akum.
Specifically malacha or do any kind of work, like some work can be not malacha, like waiters or a caterer on Shabbos, that's not really malacha.
Right. Well, there's a shayla. Generally, that's okay. But there's a shayla, if you're paying them to do your non-malacha for you, maybe that itself turns it into malacha.
Uh-huh.
Because you're paying him to do it. But normally that's a chiddush. Normally it would be only depending on malacha.
Uh-huh.
Okay? So that means...
Is this when it's being assigned a job that...
We're going to get into the details. I'm just saying the issue that has to be addressed is the non-Jew who's doing something for you, is he working for you on Shabbos? Okay? So that's the other area that has to be addressed. And that's regardless of whether you're making money. There's a separate problem of having someone do malacha for you. Okay? So for example, where this comes up all the time is construction. Let's say you have a project, and the guys are working on Shabbos, so you're not making money off that. No revenue is coming in from that particular deal. There's nothing happening. He's just working for you, but he's doing malacha for you on Shabbos. So that doesn't go into the Isra of Schar Shabbos. That goes into the Isra of Amir al-Akam. Okay? Now again, Amir al-Akam also, even though the word is Amir, is saying, regardless of whether you actually told him to do it, it could be that alone that he's doing it for you is a problem. He's your shliach to do it for you. So if a non-Jew is your shliach to do malacha for you, that itself is a problem. Okay?
Even if you don't say anything,
no. It's nothing to do with saying. It has to do with the fact that he's doing it for you. If you say it on Friday, it doesn't help you. Okay? Okay, so now, each one of these halachas, you know, has different parameters and ramifications. I have to talk about each one individually. So, for example, this could come up all the time. If a person, for example, let's say you have a guy owns a movie theater. Okay? So he wants to keep it open on Shabbos, he makes money. So you have two issues. One may be a Schar Shabbos issue. And the second issue is that the people managing it working for you. So they're working directly for you. Okay? Or so you could have a case of construction on Shabbos where you don't have Schar Shabbos, but you have the problem of the goyim working for you. You could have a case where, like, it's a movie theater where or something like that, where you have both. You're making money from Shabbos and you're also having people work for you, non-Jews work for you, right? Or you could have
Jews
working for you, right?
Like, they apply for a job and the manager hires a Jewish person.
Right. So
they ought to manage and know the work they're doing.
Yeah, what? It comes your stream. and a guy owns a mall, and yes, so a lot of the cases that come up would be fall into one of these two categories. Okay. So then what is it? It's a rental. You're only making money.
Right.
Oh, so then you're saying it wouldn't be an Amir al-Akam issue, it would only be a Schar Shabbos issue, which wouldn't be Schar Shabbos because it would be Bahavla.
Right.
Okay, so that's what I'm saying. Once you... What? No. Because once you rent something out, then what goes on in there is none of your business. If you're not actually making any of the profits of the business, then whatever's going on there is not your problem at all.
If you do, you rent it on a certain amount plus 10% of the profits.
It doesn't make... That's okay already. As long as he's getting, because he's getting some of the profit. Okay? So, and it's Babla, well, yeah. Right, could be. Okay, so let's talk about a specific, so let's set up the following, okay? Because this is the way the Shulchan Aruch sets it up, and it's going to be a little complicated this time, but I think that once we keep on talking about it enough, then you'll realize that it really makes sense and it fits. Okay? So that means everyone has to come back next week. But but point is the following.
That's how you end this week. We're still not.
Now, by the way, we're also going to get to eventually the non-major business shilas, where you have a scenario like bringing something to the cleaners, or bringing your mechanic in, or sending mail. You know, you bring your mechanic, bring your car to the mechanic, and you want to pick it up Sunday morning, and he's doing the work for you on Shabbos, and you're bringing stuff to the cleaners, and he's going to clean it on Yom Tov for you, or you have a cleaning lady. All that comes in also, but again, that's all going to be once we understand the fundamental principles, then we'll be able to plug it into all these cases.
What if,
okay?
You don't actually have a mirror, like with construction. You're telling me, listen, we're starting January 1st, we're ending March 2nd, you only decide to work on Shabbos. You're not really telling him to work on Shabbos for any time you want.
Okay, exactly. So that's going to be a factor over here, right? So you're saying there's no Schar Shabbos, it's only the fact that the guy's working for you, is that a problem? Okay, so now this is what we have to break down. There's one fundamental principle. It may not be Amir either, right? Well, the Amir means that the question is the guy working for you? That's really the bottom line question. So the Gemara says like this, okay? This is another term that we're going to use, and you have to remember this term also. The term is that there's two ways that we could describe someone working for you on Shabbos. one way that someone works for you, one relationship that you have, and I think it's like that. I was talking to someone also. It's an hourly worker versus a contracted worker. Okay, there's something that we call in halacha. It's called a schir yoim. You pay him by the hour. You pay him by the amount of time he works. Comes in today, he gets paid. He works 5 hours, gets paid by the hour. He gets paid for that. He doesn't come at all. He doesn't get paid at all. Okay, so that's a case of a schir yoim. Yeah, not schir, it's not rental. You're not renting it out. It's a schir yoim. There's another case, which is what we call a kablan. A kablan, what does lekabel mean? To accept. A kablan means he's accepted upon himself the job, and now he's got to finish it for whenever he does it. So you're paying him by the job. Okay, this is clear. There's two categories. There's a schir yoim and a kablan. A schir yoim is an hourly worker who's getting paid by the hour, and a kablan is a guy who's accepted upon himself the job. What is he? Independent contractor? Yeah. Okay, so now let's talk about the difference between a schir yoim and a kablan. Okay, what do you want to talk about? You want to talk about a construction, or you want to talk about like the movie theater example? Because the halacha is different.
Movie theater
example.
Sounds more complicated than movie.
Okay, so let's talk about a contractor. Okay, he's building a movie theater. Okay, so that's where you come in. He's building a bank. Okay, so now what happens is you can have two scenarios. One scenario is that it's my project and I'm hiring people by the hour to come in. So I basically tell them, listen, anytime you come in, you work, I'm paying you by the hour to work, and you tell me when you worked. Now, I didn't tell him to work on Shabbos, but since he's only being paid by the hour and he hasn't accepted upon himself the job, really, he's just being paid to work. So we say that he's called automatically, he's considered the shaliach of the Yisrael. He's considered the shaliach of the Jew. The shaliach is the agent. He's working on my behalf, meaning it's something I should be doing. It's my responsibility to finish because no one else accepted the job. I'm the one that's supposed to finish this project. Now, I don't want to get my hands dirty, so I pay this guy to do it for me. But he's working for me. So everything that he does, every bang in the hammer is really, he's doing it for me. I'm paying him to do my job for me. So if you pay a guy by the hour, even if you didn't tell him to come on Shabbos, but he ends up coming on Shabbos, that's awesome. You're not allowed to do that because he's being paid by the hour to work for you, essentially. So it's as if you're working. He's invisible over here. He's invisible. He's not visible in this deal. It's 100% your project, and he's doing what you should be doing, really. So that's called a schir yoim, and we say that's awesome. Under all circumstances, that's awesome. You hear that, Svara? Yeah?
That would be under a mirror, or no?
That's a mirror. You know, that's included in this category. That would be subject to that issue, because even though you didn't practically tell him to come on Shabbos, but it doesn't make a difference because he's working for you. He's your shliach. Memela, he's your shliach. You understand what I'm saying? Okay.
Independent contractor. So what if someone just gets a salary? They get paid $100 a week, $500
okay.
a week, whether they work for
you. Well, let me just finish all the category and then you'll tell me if it's clear. So the category of schir yoim is awesome. Okay, so if a guy has, you want to do some, whatever it is you're going to be doing in a guy's house, and you have these workers, they come in, even if you tell them come in whenever you want, but if you pay them by the hour, it's a problem.
Under a mirror, we're not even going under schar now.
Well, it's a schar Shabbos because you're not making money on that, but it doesn't make a difference because the guy is working for you. Now, if on the other hand, he's a kablan means that he's accepted upon himself the responsibility to finish the job. So it means I'm the one that's managing this particular project. I hire a contractor, and the contractor now has to go and finish the job whenever he wants. Okay? So, since it's his responsibility, we don't say at that point, if he's coming to work on Shabbos, he's not being my shaliach to work on Shabbos. He's being his own person. He has to do the job. It's convenient for him. He's got to finish the job at some point between, like you said, listen, the project is starting January 1st. It has to be finished by May 1st. Do whatever you want. You want to play golf on Sunday because that's convenient for you, and you work on Saturday, fine, do that. You're not telling him to do that, but he can do that. Because he's working at that point. He's not your shaliach to work on Shabbos. He's doing it for himself. He's taken upon himself the responsibility to finish the job, and now he's got to do it. Okay? So... that's the difference between those two categories. It's for a maid. What?
A maid?
What if he's using your...
A maid?
Yeah, a maid that comes in the shop.
Yeah, so that's usually by the hour.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying.
That's a problem.
That's a problem if you're telling them to do real malacha. Yeah.
But what if you just... If you, they come in and do whatever they need to do, like they've always done during the week, you know?
A big misconception that they're only going to do the same work that we would
typically be doing. Oh, it's something that we're allowed to do, so it's not malacha. They can tidy up the, they can make the beds and wash the dishes and all that stuff, because you could do it, you just don't want to.
A lot of maids take a flat rate, but they charge you $60 a year.
Is that true?
So you tell them not to, don't do the laundry today?
And if she finishes it, yeah, you have to tell them not to do laundry today,
even
of course.
They would do it on their own?
Yeah, but it's not for themselves. They didn't take the responsibility of doing laundry. They want to make a couple bucks, so they work for you. Whatever you tell me to do. You tell me to drink my pina colada, I'll also make money. I'm being paid by the hour. So what? Essentially, anything I'm doing is because it's like you told me to do it.
What if they make $60 depending on your house? Can they do laundry? Because they're still doing well off, which you're benefiting from the rent. They have no benefit.
Right. But it's not as chomer. In that case, it could be easier because it's their responsibility. The only thing is, it's a little sticky, is because usually, even in the case where you've told them to come, but you told them to come on Shabbos, no, they make up, come every Monday. Now, this today, Monday is Yom Tov. So you don't want them to come on Tuesdays, you want them to come every Monday, right? So you told them to come on Monday. So even a Kabbalan, this is important Nakuda, even a Kabbalan, even the case of an independent contractor, if you tell him to work on Shabbos, it could be it's a problem. Meaning, if he works on Shabbos and he comes in, maybe that's a different story. But you can't tell him to work on Shabbos. So this maid, I think he'll... Right, he has to be able to come in that case.
They come in every Monday, like, and it's Yom Kippur. So they can't come in Tuesday through Friday because they have other jobs.
Yeah, and you...
Because you don't care if they come on Monday or on Tuesday.
You don't care?
You don't care, because they can't make on Tuesday through Friday.
Okay, so if you have a contracted lady that comes here, but this is very unlike, I don't hear this being the scenario, but if you have a contracted lady, you have a contract with an agency, you say, listen, I pay the agency, send me someone to clean my house, I'm not looking, they know the job, this is the list that they have to do, and they come into the house. Very unlikely scenario. It could be that you don't have to stop them from doing it. It's possible. I'm not saying a concrete thing, but what?
You're paying them by the hour.
That for sure you're not allowed to.
But you're not telling them to do well off. You just want to clean the table.
That's okay. That's okay also. Is it something that they could do without malacha and it's reasonable? Meaning washing the dishes. It's reasonable. You can wash the dishes with cold water. They happen to do it hot. Fine. It has to be reasonable. You can't say, well, do the laundry. Well, yeah, you could go to the canal and, you know, it has to be, right, yeah, it's still also anyway. But, you know, it has to be reasonable. Right. You know, you can't tell a non-Jew, well, go get me some milk from the grocery because you can walk 4 miles. You know, it has to be reasonable.
So, but going to be wiping the table, right? And not know that you can't squeeze the
car. Right, exactly. That's okay. Because that's okay for a number of reasons. That's fine. Because they could do it without that malacha.
But that's a malacha.
Yeah, but they could do the job that needs to be done without a malacha. So even... So that's the point. They can't vacuum, but they could wash the dishes. And even if they'll end up washing the dishes in hot water, that's all right. Because they could have done it with cold. So, no, it's fine. Because that part of it, they're already doing for themselves. Understand? What are they doing for me to get the dishes washed? The fact that they're using hot water is for their own benefit, not for me. You understand?
I don't know about
what's that called?
That's, okay, so this is a concept which is called, okay, this is another important term. So there's, again, so far the terms are a little complicated. There's the term of Schar Shabbos, which means just you're making money on Shabbos. Then even when you're not making money, there's a problem of a goy doing malacha for you, which is two categories. There's a category of the Schir Yoim, which is a guy who's hired by the hour, which is also, and then there's a concept of a kabbalan. A kabbalan is the guy who's accepted upon himself the job. In Hebrew today, modern Hebrew, a contractor is called a kabbalan. So it's the same word. A kabbalan is he's accepted upon himself the job, and that's mutter. Now the reason why that's mutter, it says in the language used in the Shulchan Aruch is, and that's the same concept that we mentioned here, it's called adaita denafshe. Does anyone know what that means? Das is their own das, their own opinion, their own, you know, adaita denafshe means he's doing it for himself. He's doing it for himself. As long as we can attribute what the non-Jew is doing is he's doing for himself, that's okay. So in the case of the contractor, when he's coming in on Shabbos, is he doing it for me or is he doing it for himself? What? As long as you didn't tell him to, because then he's already doing it because he's listening to you.
I think also as long as it could be done outside of Shabbos. If the only way to finish a project is 7 days a week, 24 hours.
Yeah, that's a problem. Yeah, exactly. Right. So it has to be realistic. So it has to be that it's adaita denafshe. This is the key phrase here. Adaita denafshe means adas, on his own volition, his own accord. He's doing it for himself. He's doing it for himself. All right. So in the case of this Shechir Yoim, he's not doing it for himself. He would rather get the money without working. If he could get the money without working, he would love it. Just he's doing it for me because I'm only willing to pay him to do work for me. So he's doing work for me so that I'll pay him. But he's doing my work. As opposed to the Kabbalan, he's doing Adaita Denafshe. He's doing it for his own reason. He wants to get his own work out of the way. Okay. So now, this Shechir Yoim is always a problem. Now, I want to just speak out because I don't want anyone walking out here because we didn't. We have to get to this, just in case you weren't confused yet, that what we didn't even discuss yet is the Maris Ayin issue. And this is very important to speak out now. I don't want anyone making mistakes. Because even a Kabbalan, according to this, what will come out would be, is let's say I buy a property and I want to go build a building. It would be mutter to go hire a contractor and a guy can go build my house on Shabbos for me. Okay? No problem. But the Nakuda is that Chazal say that there's a Maris Ayin issue. It still looks terrible if there's a Jewish lot and everyone knows that this is the Jewish guy's house and the guy is building it on Shabbos. Why does it look terrible? So Chazal say because it looks like he's your Shechir Yoim. People don't know that you hired a kabbalan. Why? Because no one knows that it's a Jewish property. Okay, so we'll get to that. Right. But this is a very important. Okay. So the point is that would be the point. The point would be is that it's important to keep in mind the Maris Ayin issue, which we have to still get to. But again, the point is to know what you're raising. The reason why it's very important to know what is Aser. It's called Me'ikra Adin. Me'ikra Adin means the actual halacha is Aser, and there's certain things which are not Aser Me'ikra Adin. They're just Aser because of Maris Ayin. So it's important to know what's falling under what category, because that which is Aser al Maris Ayin. You know what Maris Ayin is? Yeah? Maris Ayin means it looks bad. Ayin is the eye. People that see it think you're doing something wrong, although you're not. But Chazal still don't want people to think you're doing anything wrong. So therefore, even that which is also because of Maris Ayin, if it's only also because of Maris Ayin, then we have what Chaim was saying, which is that if it's going to be in a place which no one knows is your property, it may be permissible. Okay, so it's important to keep that factor in mind, okay? So, let me just cause this over, and then we'll get, hopefully next week, we'll be able to piece together some more cases.
What happens if you have an apartment building, so you keep a maintenance there because there could be an emergency, and now someone's toilet's cracked, or there's something, a fire, whatever it is, so he goes out and you have to pay him.
Well, you pay him by the job or you pay him for being on call?
You pay him by the job.
I hear.
Maybe by the hour.
I don't know. I'm not sure. Well, if it's your building, then that could be an issue. Then maybe you have to make them a kabbalan and pay for being on call.
What's the question, Alan? I didn't hear.
You have an apartment building, and you know people know call this number if your toilet's backed up, or there's a fire, or there's an emergency. And so they call them, and for whatever time you put in, you pay them. Maybe you have to make them a partner or a cobbler.
It could be that the way you have to pay the guy is make sure that you pay him by the, they pay him for being on call, just for being on call.
Just so I understand, we're not actually going through the office, we're going through the underlying concepts. We're going through the office, but you're making sure we understand some underlying concepts.
Yeah, well, I mean, we're going to give examples in the next couple of weeks. Yeah, but this is like the first introductory week because yeah, what? You got more Shilohs or less Shilohs?
No, we have to Shilohs. Now the real is you have to ask Shilohs.
Right. Is this, so the underlying concept of today is that there's this concept of Schar Shabbos, making money on Shabbos. Then there's the concept, even leaving Schar Shabbos aside, where you're not making actual money on Shabbos, but there's a problem of having malacha, work being done for you on your behalf by a non-Jew. And there's two ways that can be done, either through a Schir Yoim or a Kablon. And the Schir Yoim is also a Kablon is mutter, but even a Kablon may be also if it's public and everyone knows about it, that could also be awesome. And hopefully next week we'll get into some examples. Okay, you know, I had